Hello and welcome back. We are on Cricket 8. I'm Nika Srigani alongside Megha Sinha as always. And we're back to talk about another absolutely mental week of IPL action. The runs keep flowing, the 200 plus scores keep happening, and T20 cricket is, just rewriting how it's meant to be played, really, over in India at the moment. 260 chased down, Sunrisers not managing to sort of do what they do when they bat first and they're asked to chase 200 runs. Everything's been happening. Kohli's back in the runs again. That remains consistent from the start of the season. But RCB picking up a couple of wins as well, which is quite unusual, Megha. And let's start with that, because we're fresh off that from the weekend as we speak to you now. RCB chasing down over 200. And yes, Kohli unbeaten 70-odd. That was brilliant. But it was all about Will Jackson, that 100 of 40 balls. And what a player he is. And what a reaction from Virat Kohli as well when that milestone was brought up, really. It's just fantastic. And it just shows you what a team man somebody like Kohli is. And some of the reactions as well when those sixes were being smashed out of the ground. Just unbelievable from Will Jackson and embraced totally by Kohli and the rest of his team.
Absolutely. Much needed 2 points and important role played by Will Jackson. It took his time to get his eye in, and after that, of course, absolutely went hammer and tongs. And towards the end, Kohli began getting amused, and in fact, he even mentioned that he was looking for a few runs and realized that Jax is not too far away from a century, so wanted him to finish that off on his own. But all in all, crucial for RCB, that keeps them mathematically alive. Now, that's been the recurrent theme through the IPL seasons, where RCB fans are busy with their calculators and figuring out all the permutations and combinations. RCB can still make it to 14 points, and there's a slight possibility that they can make it with 12 points as well. So all of that in the domain of mathematics, but such an exciting week. And for anyone who likes to see the contest between bat and bat, there was so much on offer. But the team that set this template, that is SRH, faltering twice while chasing. So is there some message coming out of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, yesterday Sunrisers, chasing down 213 to try and beat the Chennai Super Kings and falling way short, 134. I mean, to win by 78 runs in a T20 game is an absolute hammering. Even like 30 or 40 runs is pretty significant. This was an absolute battering. And there's no surprise, really, that teams will now want to bat first against Sunrisers, because they seem like a different beast when that pressure is on them. We talked about the impact substitutes coming in this season and that making a massive difference in taking the pressure off that top order. But then there's a different type of pressure when you're batting second. It's all well and good when you're batting first and you're trying to set the tone, set the tempo. You don't quite know what a good score would be, so let's just go out and get as many over 200 as we possibly can, and that's been their template. But look, it was brilliant from the Chennai Super Kings. They put the squeeze on. Chennai, playing at home, have got this sort of method, haven't they, where they bowl, they bat first and then they put the squeeze onto the opposition. It wasn't quite the spinners who did all the damage though yesterday, was it? I mean, Tushar Deshpande was the outstanding bowler, taking 4 for 27, but you look at Shardul Thakur coming in as an impact substitute. He hasn't had the best season himself, but going at just over 6.5 runs and over through his four and picking up that crucial wicket too. And then Mustafiza and Pathi Rana with a couple of wickets each. So it wasn't the spinners who did all that damage. It was only Jadeja. He was the only spinner used in that entire inning. So a different tactic from Chennai, but still, able to put that squeeze on a side trying to chase down on their home turf. And it's been the way that they've gone for the last decade, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, and unfortunately for them, this time around, a spin-heavy attack didn't help them much, because Chepauk was not the same Chepauk that they thrived on. And probably that's why they struggled in the game against the LSG. Situation was not too dissimilar, where, of course, LSG made the most out of the conditions, that is the evening conditions with the dew on. And probably that was the reason why Pat Cummins decided to chase. And probably he didn't also see the pattern developing, because it reminds us of the South African team in the World Cup. They'd be really good setting mammoth targets, but when it came to chasing, they faltered. and that was on display. That was on display in the game against RCB, in the previous game against Chennai Super Kings yesterday. So that's something, of course, that now they'd like to take note of. And 130 runs, I mean, those many runs they scored inside 10 overs. We are talking about 20 overs, the luxury of 20 overs. But Chennai Super Kings overall, crucial points for them because the two losses, back-to-back losses against Lucknow kind of dented their growth in the tournament as far as the points segment is concerned. But extremely crucial 2 points and confidence boosting as well. Ruturaj Gaikwad contributing, so important for them as well. And Ravindra Jadeja as well, although didn't have a telling impact on the game, but he was tidy through his overs and didn't concede too many. And that was very important. And that was the difference, probably, when we compare the game against LSG and the game that we got to see yesterday night.
Yeah, I mean, Jadeja, look, he's one of those consistent performers. There have been question marks as to whether or not he is the best choice for that sort of left-arm spinning all-rounder role in the India side, and maybe someone like an Akshar Patel should come in. We'll come on to that maybe a little bit later in the show. But look, I want to talk about the Gujarat Titans, all right? My team, it's no secret, and, you know, I'm from Leicester in central England. It was a pretty good weekend up until that point. For me personally, anyway, Leicester City got promoted on Friday night to the Premier League, back into the Premier League, without even playing because of the Leeds result. So that was great for the city of Leicester and thousands of Gujaratis that live here. And then, you know, for me personally, on Sunday, Arsenal are sort of my second team in football. I want them to win the Premier League. They went and thumped Tottenham away from home. Things were going well. And then the Gujarat Titans, though, I mean, that just ruined the weekend with RCB able to chase down that total with such ease. What is going on with the Gujarat Titans at the moment? Because, you know, champions in their first season, runners-up last season, they ran away with the league table on both of those occasions. This time, very inconsistent. And in fact, started off not too bad. And they just seem to be creeping lower and lower down that points table. Look, they've got a couple of more points than RCB. So they've got, they've played 10 games. They've got 8 points. They've got 4 games remaining in the group stages. Can they, I mean, they probably need to win all four given their net run rate is so horrendous. And it took another battering as well yesterday.
And the things that were working for them the last season and is not working for them this season. So, for example, Mohit Sharma, he was extremely crucial to their phenomenal campaign last season. This time around, conceding 73 runs in a single game. And otherwise, as well, as the season has progressed, he hasn't been that effective. Rashid and Noor have been tidy. Sai Kishore, his performances have been sporadic. He hasn't consistently contributed for the team. Talking about the batting lineup, now, Shubman Gill is the highest run getter. So was he last season. But if we compare his numbers at this juncture of the season from last year, there's a glaring difference, not just in terms of the number of runs that he has scored, but also the strike rate. Alongside him is the second highest run getter, Sai Sudarshan. He as well hasn't contributed as much. David Miller, the force that he was for the first 2 seasons of Gujarat Titans, in between suffered injury as well. He hasn't been the same. So there are issues in every department and some tactical concerns as well. So this separation, this partition where we used to see the duo of Hardik Pandya and Ashish Nehra together and doing so well, it's not worked in either's favour because here Gujarat Titans are struggling and so are the Mumbai Indians and pressure continues to pile up on Hardik Pandya. By the way, I was just wondering if Mumbai Indians is your favourite team, but all right, GT as well features
them. Well, look, it started off as Mumbai. And then you get a team from Gujarat that's a permanent fixture in the IPL. It'd be rude for every Gujarati, I feel, in the world, not to support the Gujarat Titans as their main team. So just like Leicester City is my football team, I live here, I was born here. You've got to go with your home teams, right? I know you Delhiites are a bit different at that. You've not got that loyalty towards the Delhi Capitals. I don't understand that. But, you know, maybe that will come in years to come when the sort of It's the tribal kind of nature of football, I suppose, which is slowly making its way into the IPL. But I think until people like MS Dhoni and Virat Kohli maybe retire, those affiliations will still be with players more than teams and regions, I feel anyway. it's like that with a lot of teams, but you know, maybe with teams like Chennai, they're quite tribal, aren't they? And they've got a very different language, I suppose, to the rest of India and things like that. So they very much hold on to the Chennai Super Kings when they're from there. That is their team. That will always be their team. Doesn't matter who anyone else plays for or whatever it might be. But it's slowly creeping its way into the IPL. But yeah, support your home team, people. You know, wherever you're born, wherever you're from, wherever your local franchise is, the nearest team to where you live and where you work, where you're from. That's how it should be, right? Are you telling me you're not a Delhi Capitals girl?
There's a nice little lecture. We do support Delhi Capitals, just that we're not as staunch a supporter as RCB fans are. So maybe.
Fans, we call them. Plastic fans.
not
permanent. Yeah. But look, it has to be Gujarat Titans for me. But, you know, as I say, struggling in the table, 10 games played, 8 points on the board. They're kind of just drifting out of that battle, aren't they, for the playoff places? Because you look at the teams above them, Delhi just above them, they've got 10 points, they've played 10. And there's a whole like bunch of teams on 10 points. Kolkata Knight Riders, although they've only played 8 games, they've got a couple in hand over Gujarat and Delhi. Chennai have played 9 and they've got 10 points. Sunrisers the same, and Lucknow exactly the same. Those three separated by net run rate. So that's going to be a massive factor, you feel, in deciding those top 4 places. It is getting very tight. And then Mumbai drifting a touch. They can go level on points with Gujarat and, in fact, leapfrog them in the table if they win their game in hand. They've played 9 and they've got 6 points on the board. But it looks very unlikely that anyone from, you know, below that current top 6, which Delhi Capitals sit in that 6th position, is going to make the playoff places. But this is IPL. Look, anything can happen. And speaking of anything happening, 260 being chased down in a T20 match can't happen, can it? Well, it can if it's the IPL, can't it? And that is exactly what happened when Punjab Kings chased down 262 with 8 balls remaining, it has to be said as well, to beat KKR. What a game of cricket that was. I mean, if you're KKR, you scored 261 for 6. You think there's no way in hell that Punjab are going to chase this down. This is Punjab. It's, you know, yes, they've got some power in that middle order, but they've been struggling at the top of the order. They've not been consistent through this season. But then Johnny Bairstow, who, by the way, on the BBC when I was on commentary the other week, we were discussing the fact that he's out there, he's warming the bench. He's been out in India for the best part of 5 months over the course of the winter. He's not scored a run across the Test series, across the IPL. He's now not playing. He gets recalled and he only goes and scores 100 off 40-odd balls. I mean, it's just bonkers, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we'd been wondering the same thing. He'd spent a considerable time in India, acclimatized, very well acclimatized. And then, of course, he had to warm the benches. We've seen what Johnny Bairstow can do in the IPL as well. When he was with the Sunrisers Hyderabad, he was extremely crucial to their successful runs in the tournament. Whatever success they enjoyed during that period in the tournament. This time around, the runs had just stopped flowing. He got this opportunity and such a crucial contribution. And you need players like Johnny Bairstow for the team to believe that such mountains can be scaled, such targets can be overhauled. Of course, the finishing touches were provided by Shashank Singh, because the time Shashank Singh walked in, Johnny Bairstow by then had already progressed to a considerable score. Shashank took on from there and himself went berserk from there on. And Punjab Kings was a team that we were wondering about if at all, any time during the course of the tournament, they'd catch up, simply because of the fact and the number of runs that we saw being scored in the tournament. Punjab Kings had a lot of catching up to do because they had been struggling with their top order. The runs were not coming. Understandable, their home venue didn't support run scoring, particularly in the power play overs. That was one lamentation that the Punjab fans had. But even when they toured outside, even when they were playing away games, they were struggling with runs. But then, barring, of course, Ashutosh Sharma and Shashank Singh, but there was consistent contribution in this game from Simran Singh as well, providing impetus top of the order. And probably that instilled belief in the Punjab Kings team. And the result was there for everyone to see. And I think also, there's this conversation around big runs being scored and them being overhauled. There was this impact player rule last time as well. Was there that much of a difference in terms of runs being scored as compared to the previous seasons? Not as much. But this season, the difference is glaring. It's extremely palpable. Probably that's also down to the fact that there have been big scores scored and almost chased and chased. Probably that has emboldened other teams and that has compelled them to revisit their strategies. And now the idea is to go big from the word go. And I think you'd eventually arrive at this part as well, Virat Kohli's statement about his strike rate, because strike rates are going to form an important conversation, important topic as we move ahead.
They will do. And look, you look at those strike rates throughout that match as well. Phil Salt, 75 from 37. Sunil Narine, 71 from 32. They're both striking at well over 200. And, you know, you've got somebody like a Venkatesh Iyer who plays a 39 off 23, striking at 169. When you look down the right-hand column, it looks quite poor because then below him, you've got Andre Russell striking at 200, Shreyas Iyer at 280. Ramandeep Singh comes in at the end and smashes at 200 just off his three balls. He hits that 1-6, which basically does it for him. And it's just bonkers. You think at that stage, there's no way in hell that the Punjab Kings are going to chase this down. But then Prabhsimran at the top of the order, that's a very important knock for not just Johnny Bairstow to get going in the way that he did, but Prabhsimran Singh, 54 from just 20. That's his job done. Riley Russo comes in, smashes a couple of sixes. And then Shashank, 68 from just 28, 242.85, that strike rate. When you're out there for that long and scoring that many runs, it's brutal stuff. And it's not just that score that was chased down. It's all these nearly ones, like you say, as well. You know, I mean, look, Gujarat posted 200 against Bangalore, but that was nowhere near enough. Bangalore chased it down in 16 overs. And that Delhi game on Saturday, let's talk about that. Delhi Capitals, 257 for 4 against the Mumbai Indians, 247 for 9. I mean, it's just, you know, over 500 runs scored in a match. Is this bad for the game, do you think, these run fests? Because, you know, who'd want to be a bowler?
Jasprit Bumrah. Barring him, I reckon not a lot of them. And Delhi game is important because it was a day game, one. Second, also the fact that Delhi didn't get off to a great start. They stuttered at the start. And despite that, it didn't matter because Ravichandran Ashwin, although, of course, he himself hasn't been amongst wickets, and we've talked that before as well, conversed over it before as well, wickets aren't as important in T20s anymore. That was a statement that he made on his YouTube channel. And probably there is some merit to that argument, because in that game, Delhi started up front. It did not matter. There was a partnership in between. And then Fraser McGurk, how phenomenal has he been, considering he was just a replacement player, replacing a bowler that too. But Ricky Ponting had a lot of faith in him. Delhi Capitals franchise had a lot of faith in him, brought him in. And his career has taken a steep graph. And he has been providing impetus to Delhi at the top of the order. Rishabh Pant as well. For the longest time in between, obviously missed the last season. But before that as well, 2021 onwards, he had kind of mellowed down. He wasn't the same Rishabh Pant that we got to see when he broke into the IPL and international scene. But that Rishabh Pant is back. He's scoring at a strike rate above 150. This season, his strike rate has been around 160. So that is a massive positive for India and, of course, for the Delhi Capitals as well. Rasik Salem as well contributing in that game. And eventually, in hindsight, you had Hardik Pandya complaining over Tilak Verma not striking, not making the most out of the left-arm spinner matchup against Akshar Patel, because there were four singles that Tilak Verma played. He didn't show that aggressive intent. And we're not talking about the last over. We're talking about just the 10th over. And Hardik Pandya was left lamenting over it. So probably this is, we are talking about a strategy shift as well. And no contest really between the bat and the ball, because like I mentioned earlier, it's only between bat and bat. But which side are you on? Do you enjoy a big sixes being it, or do you want more of a balance?
I think you need a balance. I mean, look, it's great to watch when it's happening, but it's great when it happens every so often. If you're seeing it every single game, there's just no battle between bat and ball. And you want to see the skills of the bowlers on show as well. And yes, you're talking about Bumrah, and maybe, you know, if you talk about the great T20 bowlers of this time, you've got Bumrah, Rashid Khan, Yuzvendra Chahal. There's one or two others that come into the mix as well, but there's not many. And even those guys, to an extent, Bumrah aside maybe, are taking a lot of tap. And that, I don't think, bodes well for the skill set of India, really. Because look, at the end of the day, this is an Indian domestic tournament. You know, you're only allowed 4 overseas players per 11. So this is for the development of Indian cricket, and this is to make Indian cricket and their T20 side in particular stronger going forward into that World Cup, which is taking place next month. And I don't think this is doing them any good, because they're going to be faced with different conditions for a start over there in the Caribbean. There's not going to be any, like, too many 260 scores that we see in that competition, I don't think. And it's different when you go to a world tournament, the pressure of playing in a world tournament, even if the pitches are pretty good, you're not going to see those massive scores. So the skills of those bowlers really are going to come into it. And if they're taking a massive hiding in every single match that they play, their confidence is going to be shot. That's going to be no good for the national team. And it's not just the Indian bowlers, it's the overseas bowlers as well. We're just going to see bowlers not really performing to their top level. And when you go to a World Cup, you want to see everybody performing to the top level. You want to see the best of the best, because that's what it is. It's a World Cup at the end of the day. And yeah, I just think a little bit more competition between bat and ball, and whether that's to do with the impact sub so much, there's a little bit to do with that, but also the pitches that we're seeing, they need to be made to have a little bit more for the bowlers, whether that be spinners or seamers or a little bit of both across the board, depending on where you're playing. But just a quick word on Jake Fraser-McGurk as well. Now, I saw him playing for the Melbourne Renegades when I was commentating on the Big Bash last season. And when he scored his first 50 in that competition last season, there was a tweet that went viral from Glenn Maxwell, who had literally just come back from the World Cup in India and all the heroics that he had out there. And he was tweeting to say he's never seen somebody hit the ball as well as Jake Fraser-McGurk, something to that effect. And that tweet went viral, and I watched him quite closely since then. I knew he was going to be a superstar. I was surprised when he wasn't initially picked up in the IPL, but he's got his opportunity now. And you just got to look at his scores. I mean, he made his debut, scored 55, then 20, 65, 23, and 84. So he's got 350s from his first 5 innings. And it's not just the scores that he's got there, it's the strike rates. I mean, in that game, 84 from 27. I mean, he's scoring 84 runs at a strike rate of 311. You're going to win more games than you lose. And then in the end, it was pretty close, that run chase. You know, they were only 10 runs away, the Mumbai Indians. But just what a player to have at the top of the order. And the fact that he's opening as well. He doesn't always open in T20 cricket, but they've pushed him up there. Ricky Ponting has believed in this guy, and he's delivering. And like you say, when you've got people like Rishabh Pant and Tristan Stubbs and Shea Hope, and even Akshar Patel's been in the runs this season, you've got an absolute chance of getting through and winning more games than you lose. And they seem to have just clicked at the right time, the Delhi Capitals, in that run-up to the playoffs. They're part of that group on 10 points, and they're in with a shout. If they keep playing like this, and you know their bowling looks pretty tidy as well across the board, I think they're in with a shout of making the playoffs. I mean, let's just take a look at the table. Rajasthan obviously running away with it on 16 points. And, you know, you've got Lucknow, who have been a little bit hot and cold. Let's talk about the Lucknow Super Giants. Where do you feel they're at? 9 games played, 10 points on the board. Net run rate is somewhere in the middle. Do you feel that they're realistic contenders this season?
Indeed, contenders, because they have the wherewithal for that. We've seen a difference in their approach, because as the season progressed, they realized that being conservative isn't going to yield them any rewards, considering what the other teams are doing. And they've probably shed that conservatism. Although this one issue, probably at the top, Quinton de Kock, he's been consistent performer for them over the past 2 seasons. This time around, not as consistent, because an average of around 23 is not something that you'd expect from Quinton de Kock, considering the sort of consistency that he brings to the table in the IPL, be it for Mumbai Indians or the past 2 seasons for them, and even the strike rate under 145. But KL Rahul has revisited his approach, and that has been crucial. Deepak Hooda was amongst runs because there's been this long lull that has accompanied him after his first season for the LSG, where he did well. And in the bowling department as well, they've got so many options, and some of the options that they're not even able to use. And that has probably been both a boon and bane for them, because they're packed with all-rounders and they're not really sure what to do with them. Marcus Stoinis, the century that he scored in the game against Chennai Super Kings, that really sent out a message as to how lethal they can be on their day. And him being promoted at the number three position. Number three position had been a cause of concern for them. And we've seen in the past as well, number four, number three positions, because of the gamut of options that they have for those positions, has always caused them trouble. Badoni has contributed here and there, but Marcus Stoinis, if he gets that position, considering he has opened for Melbourne Renegades in the Big Bash League and done well at that position, even opened for Delhi Capital at one point. So batting at the top of the order, where he gets to dictate the course of the play, if we see more of that, you never know if they gather steam. And they've been a very consistent franchise in the last two seasons, made it to the playoffs. Although, of course, they need to cross that one step and cross that one hurdle that has been pegging them back. But before that, there's another hurdle, and that's making it to the playoffs. They have all the resources, but those positions that we're talking about, they have so many contenders. So it's going to be tricky, but I somehow see LSG making it through.
Yeah, but will KL Rahul make it through to India's T20 international squad for that World Cup? Lots of speculation about who's going to make it, who's not. And I put out a post last week just outlining my 15 for the tournament. And this is based on kind of what I think the 15 will be, rather than my choice, if you see what I mean. Like, because if it was down to me, look, in an alternate universe, you could have no Virat, no Rohit, no Hardik and all those guys, but you think they'll probably be picked, right? Yeah, well, just look, a lot of people are saying it, aren't they? A lot of people are saying it, that if we had our choice, then maybe we'd just have a blank page and just pick whoever is in form and is a bit younger and all those types of things. But this is what I think the squad will be. So Rohit Sharma, Jasprit Bumrah, Virat Kohli, I think they're all givens, right, in terms of what is going to happen. Rohit's definitely going to be there. He's captain. And Kohli, there's, you know, he's been in the runs and he's batting well, so he will play. Bumrah, I've got as vice-captain. Suryakumar Yadav, Yashasvi Jaiswal, Rishabh Pant. Are there any arguments from you yet?
It gets tricky as far as the wicketkeeper's position is concerned.
I'm not saying this is my 11, so this is the squad. So have you got any bones of contention so far in terms of those guys picked in the squad?
You know, technically, at the moment, one option is as good as the other, because there are multiple riders. Dhruv Jarrell was being considered ahead of the IPL with his exploits in the India Indian series, and before that, in the previous edition of the IPL, as the impact player, he could be the finisher. That was a conversation. Like, Jitesh Sharma was the front runner, considering the sort of IPL that he had last time around. This time around, not the same performance, not the same impact. Dhruv Jarrell didn't get as many opportunities, three matches, didn't get to bat, but the remaining three in between where he did get to bat didn't do too well. Couple of 20s of 12 deliveries, but in the last game, that half century was crucial. But again, there were a lot of catches that were not gobbled, and that's why he got to get to his 50. But Rishabh Pant, on the other hand, the one complaint that the Indian fans have continued to have of him as a T20I player has been a strike rate. And that's kind of bizarre, because the sort of Rishabh Pant that we're used to seeing in Test cricket, even that Rishabh Pant we didn't get to see in the T20Is, although in ODIs he's been fine. So that he's managed to rediscover himself. So probably, I get your point. I get where your argument is coming from. I'm just trying to add chaos to it. I'm throwing in multiple names.
I mean, look, a couple of them, I feel like with the Jitesh Sharmas and the Dhruv Jarrells, probably 12 months out of date in terms of being in the mix for this squad. So Rohit, Jasprit Bumrah, Virat Kohli, Suryakumar Yadav, Yashasvi Jaiswal, Rishabh Pant, and then I've gone for a bit of a so-and-so slash so-and-so. Can you guess who that might be?
Jadeja and Akshar?
No, Shivam Dubey or Rinku Singh.
Hardik Pandya?
And it might have to be, yeah, that's what I was going to revisit. It might have to be, because I've got Hardik Pandya in there next, it might have to be Shivam Dubey makes it, I think, and Rinku Singh slash Hardik Pandya. But the only reason I've got Hardik in there is because, yeah, there's no other fast bowling all-rounders. And if he continues to bowl, but this is the question mark, he's not bowling particularly well either. Yeah. So is he worth his place in the side as a genuine all-rounder? I don't know. So I'll probably change that to Shivam Dubey makes it, definitely. And it'll be Rinku Singh slash Hardik Pandya. And Pandya as the finisher is in second place in that race at the moment for me. And that might be controversial to some. Then I've got Jadeja. I've got Kuldeep. I've got Chahal. I've got Siraj. I've got Arshdeep Singh. I've got Sanju Samson in there as the second wicketkeeper. And I've gone for Sandeep Sharma, who I think he has to be in the squad. Like, you look at the fast bowlers now, death bowlers, there's Bumrah and there's nobody else apart from Sandeep Sharma, who can do a job at the top of the order as well. And has been bowling beautifully. His side's top of the table. He missed out on IPL, didn't he, a couple of years ago. He came back as a replacement player, made an immediate impact, and now he's a permanent fixture and bowling probably better than he ever has done.
But Arshdeep at the death, how about that?
It's 50-50, isn't it? That was his thing at the death. I'm not sure. I'm not sure now. I think in a world tournament with world-class players around, he might be found out a little bit. I think the ball is swinging. He can make an impact early on. His pace isn't great. Never has been particularly great, but seems to be focusing more on the swing and the line and length now. And, you know, the pace has dropped just a touch. And sometimes that, you know, 3 or 4 kilometers per hour can make a massive difference at the top level. So, you know, if the ball isn't swinging, has he got enough in his armory? Probably with the slower balls and things, but, you know, maybe he could be an option for, you know, those middle overs and look to just sort of keep things tight and slow things down with those variations. I think at the death, it might be a little bit too much of a risk, particularly when you're trying to defend a total. So, yeah, I think Sandeep's probably ahead of him at the moment in terms of that role, along with Jasprit Bumrah. And then the spinners, yeah, look, I've gone for Kuldeep, I've gone for Chahal, and I've gone for Jadeja as the three main spinners in that squad. Shivam Dubey, this is the problem, isn't it, with impact players? Because of impact players, Shivam Dubey hasn't bowled in this season's IPL, hardly. And this is going to be a problem for India going forward. And this is what Rohit Sharma spoke about as well on another podcast, about it's ruining the role of the all-rounder. It's not good for Indian cricket to develop those all-rounders, because rather than have an all-rounder, you just impact somebody in, whether you're bowling first or bowling second or whatever it might be. Either a batter comes in or a bowler comes in, and then you're just sort of doubling up, aren't you? You don't need that person who can perform both roles. So that's a problem. I think the all-rounder role is a problem, which is why I've probably gone for Jadeja, just because he gives you that. I know Akshar is probably batting a little bit better than him at the moment, but just in terms of that experience in those world tournaments and playing that all-rounder role and batting in that top six or just drifting up and down the order, he's got more experience, and I think he's just a more solid option for me in that kind of a tournament. But it's a close one between those two, because Akshar is bowling beautifully and he's scoring runs.
And he's been a match winner with the bat, and more so with the bat, including that West Indies series in 2022, where he won India game, an ODI game, and that too where India were in tatters at one point. And again, for Delhi Capitals, batting at the number three position and scoring those crucial 60-plus runs. With Ravindra Jadeja, his strike rate has constantly been cited as a cause of concern. In Test cricket in India, him as an all-rounder, both as a batter and bowler, he can make massive contributions. But as a T20I player, as a batter, whether he can justify his position or not, that's the question. We've seen a couple of seasons in between when he was struggling with getting as many wickets. And with the bat, particularly against pace, in those seasons, he was very good. But this season, he's been okay as far as the batting is concerned. With the ball, average is pretty high because he's not managed to get a lot of wickets. Economy, though, under 8, which is saying something considering how this season has panned out. Akshar Patel, to his justification, in the build-up to the previous World Cup, his bowling form had taken a significant dip. If you remember that game against Sri Lanka, where the bowlers were having a huge say, and all the spinners in particular were having a huge say, Akshar still went around 6 and over, and where every other spinner did well. So, and then of course he got injured in the game against Bangladesh, didn't make it to the squad. But his bowling form had been a cause of concern in the build-up to it for the previous 12 months. But since the time he's made a comeback across formats as a bowler, he has kind of justified his position. And probably that's why the scales, I think, as far as I'm concerned, are tilting in his favour. Jadeja, of course, has a lot of experience and World Cup experience as well. Similarly, in Sandeep Sharma's case, I wonder if the experience part, international experience and experience of having featured in world tournaments would be against him. And also the fact that he had a bit of niggle in between where he missed games for Rajasthan Royals as well. In IPL, whenever he's gotten that opportunity, he's boasted of good numbers. He's being labelled as a giant killer because his great numbers against Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, and before that, Chris Gayle, AB de Villiers. So all of that obviously does matter, and he can give you that swing up front, and is a tidy dead bowler as well. But I wonder if experience, not having enough international experience, although in terms of the number of years that he has spent in the IPL in domestic circuit, one cannot complain, but just that international experience might just work against him.
Yeah, I mean, potentially, but look, he's been around for a long time and he's bowled at the best players in the world for a long time in a tournament like the IPL. So I find it difficult to see how the selectors can leave him out. The other option is somebody like a Mayank Yadav, but, you know, fitness dependent. He gives you something different, gives you that extra pace, and that might come in use on those wickets out there, which might be a little bit slower. And just for him to get those quick Yorkers in might prove to be something different. But, you know, then again, you've got Jasprit Bumrah who can do that pretty well himself. The squad will probably be announced at some point quite soon. So as soon as it is, we'll, of course, react to that and tell you how we agree or disagree, or how the world's gone completely bonkers with certain players being selected or left out. But we'll leave that for another time. A quick shout out to India's women as well, who got their tour of Bangladesh off to a winning start. 5 T20Is being played there. The first one, India batted first, scored 145 for 7. Yastika Bhatia, Amanpreet Kaur, Richa Ghosh all contributing in that. Not a great total of 20 overs. Wasn't a particularly great pitch out there. And then, look, with the ball, easy in the end. 101 for 8 Bangladesh. And it was Redhika Singh at the top of the bowling figures as well. 3 for 18, consistent performer she is. Bhuja Vastraka with a couple, and the wickets were shared round, which is good to see as well. Shreyanka Patil, Dipti Sharma and Radha Yadav with a wicket each, and none of them going at really more than 6 and over through that entire effort. So brilliant stuff from India's women to kick off that tour of Bangladesh. We'll keep you posted on that throughout that series, and if there are any massive talking points, we'll of course bring them to you right here on Cricket 8. But that's all we've got time for this week. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to Mukunda Nanikor and Dwijesh Dumpetti, who have reached out on YouTube. Do hit that like and subscribe button, whether you're watching us on YouTube, on Facebook, or whether you're listening to us on your podcast feed. Give us a follow on social media too, and we'll be back with you next week. Goodbye.